I think it's supposed to be a balmy 90 degrees this afternoon. Y'all ready for that? Probably not. Well, anyway, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that we have a really nice place, convenient place we can come in and worship and spend time in praise to our Father. And thank you for being here, for being a part of that. Alan indicated that the end of this month is our fifth Sunday, and certainly we want to be praying for that event and for the opportunity to invite people to come and be a part of that. Back on the table in the rear foyer, the upper foyer, and the lower foyer is just a little form if you would like to put some names on there. Maybe some people you're thinking about inviting. Go ahead and put their names on there, tag it up on your refrigerator or someplace where you can see it often, and be praying about those people, be praying for opportunities to go and talk to them and tell them about our fifth Sunday event coming up. So we work real hard on it. I know that we can have a number of people here to enjoy that opportunity. If you're visiting with us today, mark this as your invitation to come and be with us during that time. We would really appreciate your presence during that, and we will treat you so many different ways, you're bound to like one of them. So come and be with us during that time. I appreciate David reading the scripture passage that he did for us just a moment ago. We'll leave your Bibles kind of parked there. It's going to be the place that we use for our primary text for this morning, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Every now and again, some producer, some commercial product producer, put something out on the market available for use for the public, and it's probably not exactly as popular as they thought it would be. And so they turn something out and it's sold for retail sale, but there's really not quite the expectation for it. Let me give you a couple of examples. Here's one that appeared on the market a few years ago. And it's, I don't know how well you can see that, but it's actually a pair of rubber boots. But if you look closely at the toes, there's no rubber over the toes. Well, let me ask you, what good is a pair of rubber boots that don't have any covering over the toes? It's a product that was released, and really it probably should have not been released. But it seemed like a good idea at the time to those of you, those of those individuals who were producing it. Let me just show you one more real quickly, and then we'll move into our time for this morning. If you look real closely at the picture on your screen, what you have is a set of swim flippers, but you notice the back of them. They have high heels on them. What possible good are high heel swim flippers? You probably cannot read it, but let me get here close. The box says high tide heels. That's what they're advertised as. High tide heels. I am more than sure that that would be very uncomfortable to try to walk in, and probably almost useless to try to swim in. But those are products that have actually been released, and somehow they actually made it into the public retail market before they got pulled or before they got examined for what would have been a item that could have been a lot of resale, but it turned out really just to be a bogus or a flop. Now, there's a process that we are very well aware of that helps to ensure things like that does not happen. And it's a process of certifying something. You know, when something is certified, that product or maybe that service, whatever it may be, it's taken by those who have experience in various fields of endeavor. And they look at that product and they say, well, you know, this is a safe product. Nobody's going to get hurt by using this. Or they say, as they examine it, that, well, this is a product that actually does what it's designed to do and can be a benefit in some manner of speaking to some individuals. And then it is identified as certified. It is presented as legitimate, as authentic, as something that is safe and able to be used because it is what we might call the real deal. It is genuine. It is safe for everybody. Well, in those verses that David read for us just a moment ago, Paul used a phrase that is sort of along that line. In Galatians chapter 1, in verse number 11, as you read in your Bible along with David, you'll notice that Paul makes the phrase about the gospel. He said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're really going to kind of park on that phrase for our time together this morning. But I want you to notice that Paul begins with this concept that I certify this to you. Maybe in some of your Bible translations that you're reading, they read more along the line, I want you to know, or I want you to understand. This is a very strong word in the original language in which Paul, as he's writing by inspiration of Scripture, is trying to impress upon the Galatian brethren that those things he presented to them, that gospel of Christ that was taught to them, that's the real deal, like we might say it today. That's the legitimate message. It's not counterfeit. It's not made up. It's not his own opinions, his own ideas, his own think-sos, but it is really, actually, genuinely the Word of God. Now, some expositors have said that perhaps what has happened in the book of Galatians is that some people have come along and they've sort of challenged Paul's apostleship a little bit. Paul even begins his letter by indicating that he is an apostle. And so as that challenge has been issued, Paul is just responding. And he's telling them, no, I'm telling you, this is the actual gospel. I preached the actual gospel of Christ to you. I certify this to you. Now, Paul originally preached to them on his first missionary journey. You can read about that in your Bible in Acts 13 and also Acts 14. He's traveling through predominantly Gentile territory, preaching the gospel to these people. They accepted it. Many of them did anyway, and they became Christians. And now Paul is writing back to them to express to them that what he did among them is every bit as genuine as any other place that he came and preached. And so as he made mention in those preceding verses, that the gospel that he has preached is that gospel which should not be changed. There were some perhaps suggesting to them that there's another gospel. And Paul will actually use the phrase, there's not another. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach you any other gospel, let him be anathema or let him be accursed. And so again, the idea is that what Paul is presenting to the Galatians, well, that is something that has been certified. In other words, it's genuine, it's authentic, it's real. It is exactly what it needs to be. Now, for you and I today in our time of being bombarded with religious messages of all kinds, literally, I'm not exaggerating at all, and you well know, there are religious messages from A to Z, and everything in between, of various doctrines and teachings and ideas. In our world like that, is there really such a thing today as the certified gospel? As a genuine, real, authentic Word of God that you and I can look at and can open and can examine for ourselves and learn what God would have us to do so that we can live righteously in this life and then go on and be blessed eternally in the afterlife? Can we really get to the certified gospel, the genuine message today? Well, of course, the Bible's answer to that is yes, we can. There is a genuine article. There is the legitimate, the certified gospel of Christ. And that's really what I want to talk with you about this morning. The certified gospel. And how do we recognize it? How do we know amongst all the other messages that are available today, how do we know to recognize the actual gospel, the actual preaching and teaching of God's Word? And so let's move through a couple of areas. You see, we want to be sure, we want to be concerned that what we understand is actually what God wants us to understand. You remember Jesus made the point one time in John 8 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you see, that's what we need to get to. We need to get to the truth of the matter. Because the most dangerous kind of hope there is a false hope. We don't want a false hope. And so we want to make sure that we understand exactly what God is telling us within His Word. Now, as we look at this passage that David was so kind to read to us this morning, there are several things that Paul points out within that passage that help us identify the real gospel message? How do we know it is actually authentic? Let's look at a couple of things. First of all, let me say as we begin this morning that the certified gospel, in other words, the real, legitimate, the authentic message, what Paul will say about it is that it is not after man. It is not after man. In fact, if you look back at verse number 11 again, you'll see Paul makes this statement. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, notice, is not after man. All right? So that's the first little marker that we have within this text as to how we know a message that is being presented is actually the legitimate gospel or not. It's guaranteed, it is certified to be the real message. And that is because it is not after man. Now, in just a minute, we're going to look a little bit more at that in verse number 12, but for just now, consider that with me. The certified gospel is not after man. And so what did Paul mean when he said, I certify to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached, it's not after man. He's meaning he didn't get it from a human source, doesn't he? He means that's not how it came about. In fact, as you look at verse number 12, you'll find this statement, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's how Paul is telling the Galatian brethren that they can be sure they received the actual thing, the real gospel message. And by the way, brethren, that's exactly how we can arrive at the same conclusion today. We look at what does inspiration teach us? What does the Bible say? My opinion, your opinion, well, I'm sure they're good opinions, but they're not really worth anything as far as value to the direction you take your soul in your lifetime. My opinion's not any good at that, and neither is yours. What we need is actually, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach? And Paul was telling the Galatians that what he preached to them, it wasn't after man. It was not taught to him by any man, but he received it, notice again, by revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's how we know today that if a message is being presented, whether it's actually the legitimate, the authentic message of God or not, and that is, did it come by revelation? Does it have a Bible source? Is it actually what God said, or maybe is it something that man has said? Now let's just go a little further with this thought for a minute. And you'll notice that it is confirmed in other passages of Scripture as well. Here is 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21, where Peter writes and says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That's the same idea Paul was talking about to the Galatians. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but, he says, holy men of God. Well, what'd they do? They spoke, maybe your Bible says, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so in other words, those Old Testament writers and the New Testament writers as well, they received by inspiration what God gave to them. They wrote that down. It wasn't their own imaginations. It wasn't their own ideas. It's not of any private interpretation. It came from God Himself. And they wrote it down, and we now have it within our Bibles. If you want to do yourself a little interesting study sometime, right at this verse in your Bible in 2 Peter chapter 20 and 21, write down somewhere in the margin of your Bible, Acts chapter 27 and verse 17. Acts 27 and verse 17, and the ship that Paul was on during that storm at sea mentioned in Acts 27, the Bible says they were driven by the wind. Well, that same word driven in Acts 27 and verse 17 is the very word moved here in this passage. In other words, the idea is conveyed clearly to us that what those Old Testament prophets and what those writers of Scripture were being given was driving them, was moving them to a certain thing to write down. And it is the authentic, the genuine Word of God. I like how it's expressed in this passage of 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. John writing way back near the end of our Bibles, near the end of the first century. And John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Maybe your Bible says, you test the spirits. In other words, you test what is being said. Try the spirits whether they are of God. Here's why. He says, because there's many false prophets that are gone into the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That context bears its own study and application from what John is telling them. But please notice again, the same concept is presented to John's readers. And that is that the authentic message of God is not after man, but it came from God Himself. Now today the same thing is true, friends and family. Time has somehow not waved its magic wand over our circumstance and changed how we actually determine whether something is from God or not. We still do it in the same process. And that is, can we find it in the Bible? Is a teaching found in the Bible? If it is not found in the Bible, then it is after man and not after God. It is not certified. It is not genuine. It is not the authentic message. And so it behooves us to be individuals who study from God's Word. According to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we're aware of what the Scripture teaches so that we can understand whether or not something that is being taught is from God's Word or not. And so part of what God has given to man to identify the certified gospel from every other message that might ever be presented is simply look at the source. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Did it come from God or did it come from man? Now let me just kind of flesh that out a little bit, because there are a lot of things that are taught in our world that actually do come from man and do not come from God. You could look in your Bible for the subject of infant baptism, and what you would find is that your Bible does not teach infant baptism. Nowhere in the Bible will you find a doctrine of that, a teaching of that, or even an example of that. So where did that idea come from? Well, it came from some human source. It came from some individual who started considering that infant baptism was the thing to do, even though it's not taught in the Bible. The doctrine of the inability to fall from grace, that is a doctrine not taught in your Bible. It came from man. It's not legitimate. It's not authentic. Because your Bible actually teaches the opposite of that, doesn't it? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul writing to those Galatians again and saying to them, you've fallen from grace. You see, your Bible, the authentic message, the genuine message, teaches you can fall from grace. We could look at the doctrine of praying to Mary. There are religious groups that suggest that you can pray to Mary, and yet you won't find that in your Bible. There are doctrines that teach there are different forms or methods or modes as to how somebody can be baptized. In other words, they can have water sprinkled on them. They can have water poured on their head. They can have their person's thumb with water wiped across their forehead. There's all kinds of forms that people suggest. But you know what? Your Bible only talks about the form of immersion, doesn't it? All those other methods, all those other forms, they're not genuine. They're not authentic. They're not the real thing. The Bible teaches only immersion in water for the remission of sins. And so this is really good news, brethren, because by using the Bible, we have a way to get back to whether the message is genuine or not. And that is, we look at the source. That's why Peter was to write what he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 when he said, if any man speak, you'll recall the words, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And so that's how we know. We look at the source. Is this from God or is it from some other source? Let's look at another way we know. We're kind of elaborating a little bit further on this first point that Paul presented, that it is not after man. And secondly, Paul will say it is by revelation of Jesus Christ. By revelation of Jesus Christ. So in other words, it doesn't have a man-made source. It has a divine source. Follow with me to a couple of places in your Bible. Here is Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 again. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was taught it. Here we go. But by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, That's how I got it. It was given to me by revelation of Christ. And so let's examine that for just a moment. Consider, for example, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul, in this point, writing to a young man who was a gospel preacher, preaching for the church of Christ in the city of Ephesus. And Paul, writing to this young gospel preacher, and he just reminds him of the fact that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul is saying Scripture, well, that came by inspiration. Perhaps you're aware of the fact that the word inspiration literally means breathe out. God breathed it out. That's where it came from. That is the source. It has a divine source. Consider another passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse number 13. Paul says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us," notice, "ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." You see, there it is again. It has a divine source. And then I like Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 in regard to this matter as well, where the Hebrew writer, talking to Christians who were perhaps going back into Judaism, and he's trying to stop that drift in their life. And so in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world." And so the certified gospel, brethren, the real gospel, it came by God delivering His message through the Holy Spirit to those individuals who wrote it down. Now we have it in written form in our Bibles. Took a long time for that to happen. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, some 40 different authors living in various cultures, various countries, and at various times and places throughout their lifetimes, used the message that was given to them by the Spirit to write down God's revealed word, and we have now His completed revelation. And that's why Jude was able to say what he said in Jude verse 3. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write and exhort you that ye should contend earnestly for the faith." And then please notice this last little statement, "which was once delivered unto the saints." In other words, when that New Testament was completed, when the Apostle John laid down his pen at the end of the writing of the book of Revelation, we have now then the completed Word of God. And it is by revelation of God. By revelation, it came to those who wrote it down, and we now have it. And brethren, what we need to consider is either this revelation was once delivered or it was not delivered. Either it was once delivered or it is still being delivered. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says it was once delivered. God gave it to those individuals who wrote it down, and now we have it and it is complete. And because it has been delivered once, we have all that we need. Everything that is contained within the pages of the front cover of your Bible to the back cover, not counting the index and all of that sort of thing, but the actual words of God, that's what you and I need to live our lives by. And so 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 will contain this statement that His divine power has given unto us, if you're looking at a King James translation, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Or perhaps your translation reads everything. And so, brethren, here's the good news of the gospel of Christ, and here's how we know. We just look in this. Did it come from man's source, or does it have a divine revelation? Did it come from God? And all we have to do is compare what is taught against the Word of God, and we can know whether it is legitimate and authentic or not. And so the certified gospel, well, first of all, it's not after man. Secondly, it is by revelation of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly this morning, as we bring about wrapping this to a conclusion, the certified gospel, what it does is it calls men to Christ. It points out Christ is their most needed thing in their life. The thing that their soul most needs is to be in Christ. The certified gospel, that's what it does. And so here's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, in the earlier parts of what David read for us. Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice, please, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Please pay attention to that highlighted part of your text where Paul says that when he was speaking of the gospel, it called you into the grace of Christ. Well, you see, that's what the gospel does, doesn't it? It deals with the soul of mankind. It deals with those things his soul needs. It calls us into the grace of Christ. It points us into the grace of Christ. And only the gospel does that. We've said before, and so I will say again, but the world is full of all kinds of things that are teachings that are passed off as gospel preaching, and all kinds of social concerns and all kinds of political thoughts are passed off as what you and I need to most be aware of in our life. But you know what? That's not your greatest need. What Donald Trump said last week is not the most important thing in your life. What's the most important thing in your life? Your soul, isn't it? And what you need for your soul. That's the most important thing. And you see, that's exactly what the gospel does. It calls you into the grace of Christ. It calls you into that place where you can have the information you need to make all those all-important spiritual decisions. The gospel of Christ deals first with the internal man, not the external man. The gospel deals first and foremost with the needs for our soul. You remember in Luke chapter 12, where Luke is describing for us this occasion when Jesus was talking with a group of individuals. And apparently within that crowd, there was this guy. And I don't know, he had something on his mind that apparently he wasn't listening too close to what Jesus was saying. Because it seems as though he almost just interrupted. He just butted into what Jesus was talking about. And he asked Jesus this question in Luke 12 and verse 15 about this inheritance problem that he had. And Jesus replies with this answer, and he says, take heed and be aware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Jesus said that to that man who just sort of interrupted him. And basically Jesus is telling him life, well, it's not about things. It's not about things. It's not about material things. It's not about physical things. It's not about how much you can scrape over here into your pile, and how much you can have at the end of your life. It's not about that. It's about something much more. It's about the needs of your soul. It's about being brought into the grace of Christ. And that's the reason Jesus told this parable of the rich farmer in the Gospel of Luke as well, because that rich farmer, well, he had not prepared his soul for the eternal life, for the next life. And as a result, Jesus says to that man, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In Luke 12 and verse number 21, Jesus was pointing out to that rich farmer, just like he was pointing out to this man in the earlier parts of Luke chapter 12, that life, well, it's just not about physical things. It's not about having nice clothes. It's not about having the best car. It's not about having the finest house on the block. It's not about any of those things. What really matters is the inner part of you and I, the soul of you and I. Jesus said on another occasion, a question really, he said, for what is man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? You see, that's how valuable your soul is. It's worth more than anything there is in this world. Anything that you might ever own or have or achieve in this life. Well, friends and family, your soul is worth more than that. And what you need to know this morning is that is right where the certified gospel starts. That's right where the genuine, authentic gospel starts. It starts in the inner man. It starts with the heart. It starts with the mind, teaching us and helping us to develop faith, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, so that we can make those all-important spiritual decisions. When Paul came among these Galatian people, he preached the gospel. They obeyed that gospel. They were brought into the grace of Christ. And that's just another way to say what happened is they became Christians. They became Christians. They began following what that gospel prescribed to them to do in their life. They put away those old heathen religions and those old heathen concepts and no longer were walking by the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, beginning verse 9, but they were walking by the Spirit. And they were following what God said within His Word. What I want to leave you with is that the certified gospel, it does exactly the same thing today. Obedience to the gospel, well, it only makes one thing. It only makes Christians. That's all it makes. And you obey the gospel this morning, that's what God, through the power of the gospel, will do for you. He will bring you into Christ. He will bring you into the grace of Christ. And you'll be just like those Galatians were, brand new creatures in Christ. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, you'll be covered by the grace of God and added to His church. That's what happened to the Galatians. That's what can happen to anybody today as we likewise search out God's Word and we just obey what God says, not accepting man's ideas and man's creeds and man's think-sos, but just the certified gospel. Somebody said this one time, they said, the gospel is good news for the beragged, the beat up, and the burned out. I like that. But you know what? The gospel is more than good news just for those. The gospel is good news for everybody, isn't it? It's good news for anybody from any walk of life because it can bring you from wherever you are, whatever spiritual state you are in, and bring you just into the body of Christ and be just a simple New Testament Christian. It's possible to be just a New Testament Christian today, free from any denominational ideas or concepts, and be just what God called you to be. The same process they followed back in the days of the first century. This morning, if there's anything that we can do to help you with that, if you're ready to become a New Testament Christian, and maybe you already believe Jesus is the Christ, that's amazing. Your faith is applauded. But beyond that belief, beyond that faith, is a confession of that faith, like the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 when he just simply said, I believe Jesus is the Christ. So you need to make that confession. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. According to Acts 2 and verse 38, God will do the same thing for you at that point that He did for all of those who believed and obeyed the certified gospel. He will make you just a New Testament Christian. If we can help you with that or any other spiritual needs, why don't you come while we stand and we sing this song together.